30 minutes I was unconscious there. It was on a rural road, so nobody noticed me, whatever. And then I just remember waking up cold, because there was now no window there. I put my head through it, and into the post, etc. But in that fuzzy moment, and I know, I understand there's some people wake up like this all the time. I don't know how you put up with yourself. I think I've had 4 cases from a normal sleep there. I woke up kind of fuzzy and disoriented my entire life. But that was one of them, coming out of being knocked out. And woke up, and for some reason, instead of getting out the perfectly good passenger door when I tried to get out, I wrestled my way past that post and over the cut glass out my driver's side window for some reason. I wanted to go that direction. If we're honest, we're that convinced sometimes that we need to go a particular direction. Just like the people in Old Testament times here, as we look at Deuteronomy, absolutely convinced they need to go a particular direction, and God's going, actually, there's a much better way right here. But we're so obstinate, so convinced, that we need to humble ourselves. Even when we come to Scripture and read it, we need to humble ourselves and go, wow, I'm going to read this through my lens and through my understanding. We need to sit back and go, your ways are not my ways. And have greater trust in Him than in ourselves. So one of the themes is remember. Remember what we've learned. Remember the past on the next slide. How God has led. And that informs us, informs how we're going to live now. Remember the presence. This is just review from last week. Remember the presence of God and remember His promises that He has stated and how faithful He is in carrying those out. So if we look at an expanded version of the past, remember the past failures. Be honest about those. Again, not so that we condemn ourselves. There is no condemnation for those in Christ. But remember them and learn from them. And remember God's faithfulness in that journey. If we expand the presence as we did last week. Remember the charities, and I just put charities because it starts with C, but how God has cared for us with His presence, with the people's presence back in the Deuteronomy times. But it's received through obedience. It's when He says, hey, there's a better way this way, and opens the passenger door for us, that we actually go that way, whereas in our disobedience, we're still fighting this foolish direction. And in some way, it's compromise and it diminishes distinctive. So that instead of looking like and sounding like the people of God, they look like and sound like all the other nations, right? It's God bringing about information, but not just information. It's transformation He wants from His people so that they live like the redeemed people. He's led them through the Exodus. But they keep going back to live in slavery to something or other. He says, live as transformed people, the people of God, the redeemed ones. He wants that for us as well. Compromise undermines that completely. And there's consequences for disobedience. There's blessings or charities for obedience. There's consequences for disobedience. And we got into the promises. Really believing what God says He will do, He will actually do. He had promised the land. We looked at that last week. He had given the law, and it was a law that leads to life. He put guardrails on life so that we wouldn't keep going doing, that people would not keep doing foolish things. And now we have just one more piece this morning, and then I want to look at something else that flows from it. It's the Lord. The Lord Himself. Deuteronomy 4. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb. And I talked about that last week. But it continues, remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me. It's the Lord here. It's not just, oh, that person or this person, right? We see so many leaders in our day fail in very big ways. And we're, well, I'm not putting my faith in whoever again, a big sports star, a big political figure, or whoever else it is. But the Lord's character is such, we can put our full faith and trust in him and revere him. There is a fear aspect, fear him if we don't know him, that's for sure. But revere him, he is holy. And somewhere along the line, we've lost a lot of the holiness of God. It's brought back in the early books of Scripture. Revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. It's teaching them the reverence of God, not just the laws of God. Deuteronomy 29, almost near the end of the book, says, yet the Lord says, during the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. 40 years. There's an advertising thing, hey? 40 years in the harsh desert, and they didn't wear out. Hey, should be able to sell a few. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other fermented drink. I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord your God. When he says, go this way, it's for our good, and he is God. He actually knows better than we do. Don't climb out the driver's side window. That's crazy, and it hurts. When you and your children return to the Lord, this is the next chapter later, Deuteronomy 30. When you and your children return to the Lord, so he knows they're going to go their own way, but he still says this, and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today. Then the Lord your God, this is Moses speaking, will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he has scattered you. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him. This is Moses speaking about the relationship with God, with all your heart and with all your soul, and live. We've been singing about that this morning. This is a love relationship that he has with us, calling us into, calling the people of Israel, and by application, us as well. A little later on, Deuteronomy 30, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. We try and find life and meaning and source in so many other things. Remember the promises of the Lord, who the Lord is, who it is that's promising, right? He's good, completely good, no malicious. He's not manipulative for his own good, right? So many of our leaders, doing this for you, but really they're gaining much more on the side themselves. God is so unlike what we can understand. He was so unlike what the people could understand. He kept doing these pretty extreme things so that they would know who the Lord is. And he's doing it with us as well. He allows some pretty extreme things into our lives that we would know him, recognize him as the Lord, and revere him as such. This is no small thing. As we do that, I want to talk about, as I've done in most of these books, some of the types that are introduced, right? When I've said types before, it's like a replica of a car. But usually the original is made first and then the replica, and it's not really as good. fact, some of them look so good, as on the next slide there, you can't really tell it's not that good. And in Scripture, it's the types that introduce the real thing later. But really, you can't tell until you look under the hood. Right? Don't we have some of that today? We've got certain religions that look really good on the outside until you dig down and see what their foundation is. Our foundation is a certain rock called God, Jesus Christ. It'd be like looking under the hood of a replica and you find out, oh, it's not genuine, or until you get into a race. They lack substance. And in the Scriptures, it's not trying to be fake. It's trying to introduce such a different way of thinking about who God is that it's an introduction to, but then the reality comes later, the true substance. And so some of these types come out in Deuteronomy. We're going to just briefly look at four of them this morning. So we look at these. There's the law. And the fullness of that is the Word. Jesus comes. The Word became flesh. But it's introduced, the law is a type that's introduced. Even riches, provision, prosperity, they're introduced here, right? The way he talks about, I will return your land and your riches and your, right? But those are a type of true blessing, of true provision and prosperity. Idols. This is one that steals our focus. And so what were they called to focus on? And what's their true source is what it gets down to. But he introduces in Deuteronomy, I the Lord, right? Not all the other idols. They're the false. And looking to the fulfillment of that, we have that in Christ. Yes, he was a man, but not a man like any other. We do worship Jesus because he's fully God and fully man. Another type is a redeemer. Moses is a redeemer. We've already talked about this some as they come out of Egypt. You redeem them out of Egypt, but redemption is ongoing. Right? It's both an instantaneous thing, redeemed out of Egypt, but it was ongoing, teaching them how to live as the redeemed. Jesus does that in our lives as well. He redeems us out of slavery, but then in an ongoing way teaches us how to live that out. So let's look at the law. The law and the word. Deuteronomy 11. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. This is a picture of how God wants to bless his people. But it's physical things, right? It's things they need. Look at John 1. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. In him, we have all sorts of blessings. It's not just what sustains us for a day or some years on this planet, but grace and truth, what we actually need to live the fullness of life, not just physical life, we have in Jesus Christ. It was not through the law, as in Romans 4:13, which won't come on the screen, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Faith in what? Faith in who? Well, the living Word, right? It's not faith in the law to produce something. It's faith in the living Word who is Jesus. Romans 7, Paul tries to, again, it's so hard to comprehend. It's a different way of thinking. He gives them an example of what the people's trust is to be in. Not the type, not the law, but the fulfillment of the law in Jesus. Do you not know, brothers and sisters? For I am speaking to those who know the law, those who are in Christ, those who have at least some understanding, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died, right? That's given as an example. Now he's getting back to the reality of it again. You also died to the law through the body of Christ. Why? That you might belong to another, to him. So in essence, we've died to the law. It couldn't bring life. It could just help start to reveal who God truly was and our need of him. But it could not never fully bring life. But that we might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. There's another law right here standing before you. I take my glasses off. Instantaneously, I have the law of, can't even read it, nearsightedness. Forgot what I put down. I'm nearsighted, so I can actually, well, if I hold it that close, I can still read my notes. There, it's fuzzy. All of you have gone to fuzzy stuff right now. That's the law of nearsightedness. But if I put my glasses on, suddenly that law is superseded, overcome by, fulfilled by the law of corrective lenses. And now I can actually see features. I can see your eyes. I can see you have eyebrows. And you're not just a mass of color and smudgy stuff. It's overcome by the law. It's fulfilled. Romans 7 goes on, verse 5. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. Remember, I give you life and death. There's a choice there. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we've been released from the law, so that we serve in a new way in the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. If we make the law ultimate, we just have religion, us trying to earn our way to God. That was never the intent. It was to be a type of looking forward to when we would live by the Spirit, the living Word. It's a relationship. It's empowerment. It's transformation. This passage goes on. What we put off, right, we'll read some of that later, is a sinful life. It's we put it off and we put other things on because that's our true identity. We live out as redeemed ones. We're not earning to be redeemed ones, but it's overcome by a more powerful law, the law that we'll celebrate next week, the new covenant in Jesus' blood. He's brought true freedom, true. He's renewed our identity in Christ, in God. So the law was just a picture of what was to come. It could never lead to life, but Jesus does truly lead to life. We look at the next one about provision, how God provides. Deuteronomy 30. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations. And when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul according to everything I have commanded you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he has scattered you. It's the Lord your God that does this, and he restores their fortunes. Again, this is a type. This is a picture of being in the blessing of God. Deuteronomy 30 goes on. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, and from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors and to take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. Now, I know in our day and age, there's a lot of teaching on prosperity, right? Hey, just send in your $20 to this ministry and you'll be prosper many times over to thousands and etc. The false teaching is very physical. It ODs on the type of prosperity and doesn't get to the reality of it. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts. It's even there in Deuteronomy that there's something much bigger going on here than just getting a bunch of riches. He will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may thank him for his wonderful gifts. Oh, so you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live, experience true life. We're created for relationship with God, and his blessings lead towards that. We get so fixated on the gifts. I want this, I want that, thanks for this. But it's all about relationship with the giver. And it was in the Old Testament, but it was a type to show them how he was blessing them. It gives a future clue. Here's what's happening. I'm going to circumcise your hearts, right? Several times in the New Testament talks about circumcising your heart. But I want to look at Colossians 3 a little bit here. But what Jesus has done, since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the gifts that God's going to give you. No, because the reality has come. He says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's the source. That's where our true blessing lies. In this world, you will have trouble. We're all going to face death. None of the blessings we get in this world are going to last forever other than our faith in Jesus Christ. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, remember Deuteronomy just a little bit ago? God, who is your life, on Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The fullness of God has come, is pleased to dwell in the person of Jesus. The type is not the type anymore. Now that we have the reality, the real McCoy is here. H.B. Charles Jr. said this, Joseph did not endure the pit, or Potiphar's house, and prison, because he knew he would end up in Potiphar's and Pharaoh's palace. He simply remained faithful wherever he found himself, and God did the rest. That's a life of faith. It's not about, well, I'm going to live for God so that he blesses me, right? Joseph wasn't going, oh, I know, you're going to redeem me, you're going to show these people, you're going to raise me to a high place. He lived faithfully where he was because he had a faith in God, not in getting the good gifts, not give me what I want. When the types are made ultimate, they devolve into becoming idols. And that's our next one, just focusing on the idols. These physical idols were a picture of false religion. What source do we really put our true trust in? True righteousness, the circumcised hearts, and the heart and mind set on Christ, not on stuff. Because if they're set on idols, then it leads to false actions as well. Deuteronomy 29. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose hearts turn away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. When such a person hears the words of this oath and they invoke a blessing on themselves saying, I will be safe even though I persist in going my own way. Right? There was people even then who took for granted, well, I'm part of the community of the Israelites. God's going to bless me and give me favor. Even while they're walking in disobedience, I can go my own way and there won't be any consequences. I can compromise a faith in God without any disaster coming up on me. But it says here at the end of this, verse 19, they will bring disaster on the watered land as well as the dry. It affects the whole community. And he says, don't let that dwell among you. It will go like leaven. It will go like yeast and infect the whole thing. There's times to make really hard decisions. And when we've compromised who God is, and are seeking to go our own way, but still saying, bless me, then we have a real problem. We have chosen death and not life, and we're called to put on. Colossians 3 again. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Any of these first ones are what we want to consume, what we want to possess. Make it what's not ours, make it mine. Right? The definition of greed is unchecked hunger for physical pleasure. Gimme, 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 focus, right? God's going to bless me so I can just take it. He goes on in the next passage, which I'm not going to get into here today. Into anger and slander. It breaks down relationship. And all of it is idolatry. It's placing our source something other than God. I'm going to jump down to verse 10 and 11 of chapter 3 of Colossians, but again, it won't come up on the screen. I'm going to flow out of verse 9 here. Do not lie to one another, saying that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. Remember the brain, right? Redemption is both an immediate thing. We've been redeemed, like the people were taken out of the Exodus, but they didn't know how to live as free people. If we are followers of Jesus, we've been redeemed, but there's still areas of life where we don't know how to live that out yet, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And then verse 11, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. It's him we worship. Anytime our attention goes to something else, we're choosing life or choosing death instead of life. Better say that the right way around. Just the idols again, that whole dialogue around idols coming back to the Lord himself. They were types. There were physical idols then, but we have many more non-physical idols in our times. The reality is still there, though. He calls it idolatry, and it still has the same devastating consequences. Both center of attention, right? All of these idolatrous ways center our attention on something other than God and cause us to try and find life in an alternate source when the reality is he is our source. Christ is indeed our life. One last one. Moses being the redeemer again. In society, God is not holy. Sometimes in the church, we don't really treat him as holy. Just love everyone, God, and accept them the way they are. right? Isn't that the dominant message in our time? Just accept everybody they are, no matter what decisions they're living, lifestyle, God just loves you and it'll be okay in the end. What a big fat lie that is. And it comes in all sorts of ways. Reality is, God does love us. And he accepts us. He receives us just as we are, right? The old song. I remember when they were singing at the service when I did not go forward and I did not accept Christ, I put it off. But just as I am, without one plea, I don't earn even a minute portion of it. Just as I am. He receives us just as we are, but his love doesn't leave us as we are. He brings about transformation. He redeems us, and then he helps us live as the redeemed. Transformation. Actions leading to life, not death. Look at Deuteronomy 34. Since then, no prophet. So this is how amazing Moses was. Since then, this is the very end of Deuteronomy. No prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. There's a conclusion of this book, of chapter 34, the very end of it, in Eerdmans' Handbook to the Bible, on the next slide, I think. Maybe I just have it in my notes, I forget. The action now passes to Joshua. Moses has just passed away, right at the end of the book. The action passes to Joshua. But the book closes with a simple and moving tribute to the greatest of all Israel's leaders. There would be no prophet to match him until Elijah, and no one to surpass him but Christ himself. It's a powerful quote on the passage we just read there. Christ surpasses him. Moses said hearts would be circumcised. Jesus circumcises hearts. He sets us apart. Now the picture of the new covenant is not a physical circumcision. It's a circumcision of the heart. Moses demonstrated the power of God through signs and wonders. Jesus is God. Moses was the mediator between God and the people for a time. Jesus is the mediator for all time. Moses spoke of sacrifices. Jesus is a sacrifice once and for all time for all people. Moses led the people physically. Jesus leads us in every aspect of life. Hebrews 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, Moses being the type. Jesus is the full reality. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future, right? Pointing to the reality. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to the confidence and the hope we have in which we glory. This is powerful. Do you understand how much greater Jesus is than Moses is? Can you imagine? People were terrified of Moses because just being in God's presence, he glowed. He was so impacted by being just in God's presence. Jesus is God, not just in the presence of. So remember, remember who God is as we end Deuteronomy. As you read through Deuteronomy, be aware of some of the types and what they're pointing to the reality. We as Mennonite brethren, we read the Old Testament through the lens of Jesus because he is the reality. The law has been fulfilled in Jesus, the living word. Our true provision and prosperity is in Christ. It's in all of it. It's not just the physical, but it was a type. And our idols have largely, not tangible, physical, some of them, many of them are, but they still have a devastating effect. The reality is the Christ. And Moses' redemption was for a time, and physical. Jesus' redemption is eternal and limitless in its scope. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, there's so much in your word here in these 34 chapters. We've looked at it in 2 weeks. And yet in the midst of it, there's so much language pointing to the future. A circumcision of hearts, and certainly Israelites had no clue what that really meant or would mean. But we can look at it and recall what we've learned about it and look back and see the reality of what you have accomplished, God. We can be overcome by this world and our pursuit and so convinced of our own way, God. But again and again, you called the people in Deuteronomy back to reveal yourself to them. You gave them manna from heaven. Not exactly what they wanted when they wanted cinnamon buns one day and bagels the next. It was manna over and over. But it was a test to see that they had a true faith in you and understanding that you are the real provider. And God, we can get just as distracted with our world, whether it's a fear of what's going on in us, around us, in our lives, in our country, or just this greed, this idolatry to pursue and take hold and possess what is not ours. And we need to bow before you and repent. Turn from our idolatrous ways and yield to you, the one who truly is working towards our good and our true prosperity, not just the type of prosperity, but the fullness of it. True, eternal, abundant life. God, help us remember who you are, and may it change the way we live today. Fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith, and our minds on things above, not on things of the earth. Teach us, Lord, lead us, and may you receive all the glory and the honor. May we revere you as holy. Pray in your name.